Beloved listeners, this is your host, Kenneth Lesser, welcoming you to another fabulous, fun, educational hour of Advanced Living Radio. Oh, get ready. Whew, I don't know how blessed I am sometimes. Today, extra, extra special. I put forward this prayer and it is answered. Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives. Why? So we can enjoy a global loving community. Well, I've been blessed again today, and get ready. You're about to have some fun. And this gentleman that has come into my life, recommended to our radio program, he comes recommended by one of the people that I most highly respect, a guest we had, Dr. Todd Michaels, a medical doctor of extraordinary compassion. And today, our guest, we are going to have fun with Alan Davidson. And Alan is the author of a book called Body Brilliance, Mastering Your Five Vital Intelligences. Frankly, I'm still looking for some of mine, so this could be my day to find them. And Alan, what a gentleman. He's a contributing author of a powerful book, Healing the Heart of the World, which is a compendium of essays by such authors as His Royal Highness Prince Charles, Carolyn Mice, John Gray, Andrew Harvey, Naomi Judd, and Neil Donald Walsh. This is good company. So get ready, folks. Alan, for many years, has been a massage therapist, a registered massage therapist, easy for me to say with a lisp, since 1988, and is the owner and director of Essential Touch Therapies in Houston, Texas. He is considered the wellness guru down there in Houston, and he's with us today. He's got a bachelor's degree from the University of Houston with an emphasis on psychology, sociology, philosophy, and religion. And he's also fascinated with the intersection of body work, psychology, ritual, and spiritual practice. We have an incredible blend through Alan's brilliance. His book is Body Brilliance, and from talking with him a little earlier, we're talking about personal brilliance. So get ready. He's been doing this stuff for years. And one of the things that makes it so compelling about having him as a host is some of his walk. Go back a number of years, and he was big time into methamphetamines. And so one of the billings is that we're dealing with the blessing of a man who's been free of this for many years. He's an ex-meth junkie, drag queen, bartender, and this individual who pulled his life together and has been striving for excellence and then sharing it with others, is now writing this powerful, wonderful book on health and wellness. So get ready. I am so honored to have as our guest today Alan Davidson. Alan, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, and what a delicious privilege to be with you on the phone tonight, Ken.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm just excited. I want to get right to some things. Like in your book, you mentioned the five vital IQs. And would you help me to know what are those things?
Well, sure, Ken. As you mentioned, I started my body work massage therapy training 19 years ago. And what I very quickly realized in my own personal studies and then working with clients all these years is that we have these five vital intelligences. And those are physical, emotional, mental, moral, and spiritual. And each of those IQs can be measured, but what's more important, Ken, is each of them can be improved. They can be boosted. They can be peaked. And as we peak each of those IQs and then spin them together, it gives us our highest spiritual vibration. It gives us our joy and our happiness and our real purpose in life.
Wow. And I want to, of course, welcome callers who may want to call in and talk to Alan as we continue this discussion. Can call in toll-free 877-876-5227 in the U.S. For our friends up in Canada, 888-815-9756. Other parts of the world, 530-876-3222. Yes, Alan, now, would you go into a little bit more about the signs or flags that my five IQs are out of whack? I know I've got some improvement I can do.
Well, the simple way, Ken, and if I can be so direct, is if there's an area of my life that is just sucks, it's in the tank, it's just not working, you can bet that one of the IQs is completely out of whack and needs to be tended to.
Okay. So that's real simple. If we've got some pain, if something isn't working, then we know that one of these five needs some help.
Right.
Now, I don't know if there's like a top priority in all of these or...
Well, again, and everybody's unique. Everybody's different. We come into this world with, you know, my belief is that we come into this world and we have particular jobs to accomplish and things to do and karma to balance. And I believe we also check in with particular health and wellness gifts or challenges. And depending on the choices that we make from the time we're very, very small, how these IQs are activated or play out are very important to who we become and how we live powerfully in the world. So the priority is, there's two ways to answer that question, Ken. One, again, if there is an area that's really, really pathological for you and causing you a lot of problems, then yes, you've got to tend to that particular intelligence. You know, if you're grossly overweight, if you spend hours and hours at a computer but you can't do five push-ups, then that tells you that your physical intelligence is not what it could be. If you're about to go postal at work and you don't work at a post office,
yes.
You know that your emotional intelligence could use a little tweaking there.
Oh, a little stressed out, perhaps, huh?
A little stressed out. Your hair is standing straight up, and you didn't use hairspray in the morning.
Woo! Okay, those are important signs, dear listeners. If you see any of those in yourself or others, we got to get in touch with Alan. Now, one of the things, do we want to refer to a website or two for you, Alan?
Well, certainly people can always visit me at throughyourbody.com. And they can learn about my work. They can sign up for a monthly email blast that I do that really, I'm a firm believer in giving education and helping people. So I'm always sending out articles that I've written or fine articles that I find in the world that really help people find their greatness and their magnificence.
Good. So that's www.throughyourbody.com.
Yeah, and that's T-H-R-O-U-G-H yourbody.com.
Okay, good. All right, we're spelling out through all the way.
Right, right.
Okay.
You know,
thanks.
And I wanted to come back to your last question, Ken. You know, you said, is there a priority of the five IQs? And, you know, if there's nothing pathological in your life, what we also know is that each of us have gifts that we're given. And so if you have a gift for relating to people, which I know you have, Ken, you know, that is what you need to focus on, because that's going to carry you to your greatness. Some people are excellent at their moral intelligence, where they can be of service to people. They can communicate well with people. Some people have great spiritual intelligence. They can sit for long, long hours in meditation and be very still and be very connected to spirit. So whatever your natural gift is, then by all means strengthen it and excel at it and carry that out into the world.
Mm. Wow. Okay. Well, that's important to know, the one, to identify what it is that we're really good at or is really flowing and easy in our lives, and to emphasize that. Now, when a person is doing that, then how would you advise them in terms of moving ahead on those other IQs?
Well, I'm a firm believer as a body worker that enlightenment and true greatness has the quality of being in the body. So we have to be comfortable with the sensations of our body and being centered in our body and begin to really work at levels of flexibility and strength and grace and good posture. So one thing is just to really begin to work at living in our physical bodies. There's a great quote from James Joyce, who was an Irish novelist, and one of his characters was Mr. Duffy, and he said Mr. Duffy lived a short distance from his body. And you can tell people who walk around in their life who are living a short distance from their bodies. They're so in their heads or they're so in their emotions that they aren't aware of their physical presence in their physical life.
Mm.
And so part of working with the five IQs is to just get in our physical bodies and work with our physical IQ. Another important aspect is any kind of exercise routine, whether it's a vigorous walk through the park, or you go to the gym, or you practice Tai Chi, or you go to yoga class, or even if you ballroom dance, whatever it is that you do, you create a quality of energy in your body that only physical exercise can give you. And you can ride that physical energy to boost your emotional, your mental, your moral, or your spiritual intelligence.
Hmm. So
it gives you petrol. It gives us gas.
Was it old from the Greek or the Romans that talked about a healthy mind and a strong body? I wonder.
It's just something that I've heard as long since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I grew up in rural Texas, and my grandmother talked about that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so it's like you're giving us an important reminder that's really powerful, especially when sometimes people can turn on the TV and there's programs that are awarding them prizes for being a couch potato.
Well, it's a short-term prize, Ken, let me tell you.
Okay.
But I'm here for the $10,000 pyramid.
Yes.
Of greatness and wonder in life. And the couch potato prize just doesn't cut it for me.
Okay. And I advise folks, getting his book, Body Brilliance. Oh, I mean, get ready. Not only is it filled with wonderful information that connects all of these aspects of our lives, the physical, mental, emotional, moral, spiritual, brings them all together. The photography, you've just, treat yourself to, if you like beautiful photography, yoga postures, the physical form. Alan, I just got to compliment you. That book of yours is exquisite.
Well, thank you. And it was always my dream to create something that was helpful to people and inspiring to people and was also equally as beautiful.
Yes.
And if I can boast just for a minute, when people see my book and they talk to me, they say, of all the thousands and thousands of self-help books that are out there and spiritual books and all the literature, they say that my book is the most unique thing they've ever seen. There's just nothing like it in the world.
Oh, I would have to agree. And and from your connection with Dr. Todd Michael, who is one of the most devoted people that late in his life that studied and became a holistic MD and gives with a compassion and wrote a beautiful book. He was a guest some time ago on our program.
Uh-huh.
And your connection to him and then what I'm seeing in the book, it's just like, folks, you got to go to throughyourbody.com. Get some information from Alan Davidson for the benefit of your life, and then check out this book. There's just so much. It's just like I got 5,000 questions here. Now, because we're talking about the physical form, how do nutrition and exercise enhance the five IQs?
Well, curiously, nutrition and eating actually has a direct effect on our emotional intelligence. Most people would think of it as a physical quality, but in the realm of our emotional intelligence, there are three aspects of our life that play a very important part into developing emotional IQ. One is eating. One is the way we breathe and how deeply we breathe in our bodies. And the other is actually the way we're intimate with our partners, our sacred sexual capacity. And those three qualities tended to with intention can really boost our emotional intelligence and the power that we can enjoy our emotions and feel our emotions and express them fully in the world.
Ah, now, because most people, you can get their attention by mentioning sex.
Right.
What I'm wondering about is if you would comment a little bit about perhaps the interrelationship of spirituality with greater sexual ecstasy. Do those two intertwine, or am I just having another fantasy here?
Well, it would be a fabulous fantasy, Ken. No, they're very much entwined. And you know, I break emotional development or emotional intelligence down into three basic levels. One is selfish, one is care, and the next one is cosmic care. So somebody who's at a real selfish emotional level, it's what's in it for me. It's all about me. What can you do for me? And we all know people like that. And then as we mature and we grow, then we begin to realize that it's wonderful and helpful to interact with all these other people in the world. And then as we really continue to evolve and grow, then we get to this cosmic care level. And it's where we are really connected not only to all the people in the world, but to the animals and the planet, and we're open channels for the divine wisdom of the universe. Now, the same is true in sexuality. You know, there are people who are at a sexual development of what's in it for me, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And then there are people who, when they come to sexual intimacy, they really are into the sensations of their bodies and how they can look into the eyes of their partners and how they can give pleasure to their partners. So that's a level of care in sexuality. And then when we get to cosmic care, well, that's what the Taoists have been talking about and the Tantra people have been talking about and sacred sex have been talking about all these thousands of years, is where we are so enjoying and blissful with our partners in the ecstasy of great sex that the boundaries of who we are as people, our egos, completely shift away, and we have these amazing experiences and orgasms.
Mm.
So they're simultaneous, and it takes a very high level of emotional intelligence to be able to have that kind of sacred sex.
Wow. Now, it sounds like a worthwhile path, obviously. Like who wouldn't want the most fabulous sex and to have the body that you could use and to have emotional balance, all of those things. I'm wondering, is there a pathway in your book when someone goes, I guess they can go to throughyourbody.com and order it or different places?
Well, it's certainly available at fine bookstores all across America and Canada.
Okay.
It is Amazon.com, and you can certainly go to throughyourbody.com and purchase a copy of the book there.
Okay. Now, for people that are kind of curious about, okay, I mean, there's a pretty good-sized carrot dangling in front of us, Alan, with what you're talking about. Is there step-by-step in the book? What can we do? Do you offer consulting? How? I mean, wow, I want this. I mean, who wouldn't want this?
Well, you know, I mean, what I like to say is I'm sort of drawing a map, and I'm laying it out for you the way that I see it. And my gift in the world, Ken, is that I have studied the world's traditions. I studied Hinduism and Tantra and Taoism and Buddhism and the Kabbalah and Sufism and a lot of the American esoteric and Christian mystics. And so I've just taken the very best that all of those have to offer, and I put it together in this program, and I just said it in plain English so that the average person can understand what we're talking about here.
Wow. Talk about the best of the best in the world delivered in an easy-to-digest, easy-to-understand format.
You know, I hear so many people who get so concerned about the crises that we have in the world, and I admit that we are in a phenomenal period in time. Humanity is being demanded by spirit that we stand up and live into our magnificence, live into our greatness, but I have the highest faith in human capacity. I know that we are going to stand up to the plate, and we are going to grow up as human beings. We're going to claim our spiritual intelligence and our emotional intelligence and our moral intelligence, and we're going to make the changes that we have to make to heal poverty and to stop these wars and to begin to really treat each other with respect and change the world.
Yeah.
And it's an absolutely exciting, pivotal time to be alive because we get to witness this dramatic shift and change in humanity.
Yeah, big time. I'm so fond, too, of to me, your groundedness. You made a statement because it's easy to rally to some bigger cause, whether it's Earth Day or Feed the Children or so many things that call to us. And then we've got this, wow, these big crises to deal with. And your comments when, you know, about what is the biggest moral crisis that we're facing, I think that's important. You've alluded to that, and I just want to reemphasize that because here you are talking about how we can really witness and participate in this greatest time to ever be alive in the history of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Would you kind of comment a little bit about that?
Well, absolutely, and the way that I see it, I boil it down to two sentences: heal our bodies, heal the world. It's microcosm, macrocosm. When I am tending to my body, when I am working with my five vital intelligences, I am doing absolutely everything that I need to do to heal the world and make a difference in the world.
Oh.
So can I tell you a story?
Please.
So one of the stories that I love about physical intelligence is a little black girl named Wilma Rudolph.
Oh.
And she was born the 20th of 22 children. And she was 4 pounds, and she had scarlet fever and double pneumonia, and she was a sick little child. And she was finally diagnosed with polio. And the doctor said that she would never walk without braces or crutches for the rest of her life. But her mother, a decent black woman from rural Clarksville, Tennessee, said, "My daughter's going to walk. I have faith." And she drove her daughter into Memphis to the college to get her the physical therapy treatments twice a week for 2 years. She drove her daughter. And she came home and she taught every one of those brothers and sisters how to do those physical exercises. And in 2 year period, Wilma was running out in the backyard playing.
Wow.
And she, after all those years of being in crutches and being in braces and loved the feel of the wind in her hair and on her cheeks and the way her muscles felt when she ran. And she became such a good runner that she found a place on the Olympic team in 1956 and won a bronze medal.
Ah.
But 4 years later, she stepped into her greatness because she was the first woman in Olympic history, not to mention the first black American woman to win 3 gold medals in an Olympics.
Wow.
So Wilma obviously had a gift and she had a physical intelligence. But she did not stop there, Ken. She tied that to her moral intelligence. She took the influence that she got and the power that came from being an Olympic gold medalist, and she went back to Clarksville, Tennessee, and they wanted to have a parade for her and a banquet. And Wilma said, you know, Mayor, that's a fabulous idea. I'd love to do that under one condition, that my black friends and my black family could come to the parade. Because Clarksville was still a segregated town.
Ooh.
And my black friends and my black family can come to the banquet. And the mayor said, Wilma, I got to think about that. And went back and arranged it with the city council. And that was the first integrated celebration in Clarksville, Tennessee history.
Uh-huh.
And the rest of her life, she fought for equality for women and equality for blacks. So she took that tremendous energy that she got from her physical intelligence and made a difference in the world.
Mm.
And I'm here to tell you, Ken, that every single one of us have a gift just like Wilma. And if daily exercise done with love and conviction can turn a girl diagnosed with polio into an Olympic champion and a champion of equal rights in the world, just think what daily exercise done with love and conviction can do for you and I.
Oh, wow. Yes. And do you have some suggestions on helping? Because our country, if I understand it, is got the highest obesity rate in the world.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So obviously there'd be a gap to bridge to helping people to get into this, enjoying the physicality of their lives. Can you offer some hints or suggestions?
Go for a walk. Get out. If you live in a place where you can go outdoors, go for a walk. Now, see, I live in Houston, Texas. It's still excruciatingly hot here. And I know some people live in Canada and other places in the world where it's already cold. But if you can walk outdoors, just do it. Sense your body. Sense your fingers moving deliciously through space. Sense your breath moving through your body. Sense your legs pumping. And that will connect you to a quality of spirit that you cannot get anyplace else.
Mm.
And from that, you can build. Now, Ken, you may find it hard to believe, but I used to be 320 pounds.
Wow.
I was a mess. I was a meth junkie. I was strung out. I was grossly overweight. I was so unhappy that I, at one point, made a choice. If I do not get some sort of help, I'm going to kill myself because I do not want to live this way. Life is just not worth it. Now, fortunately, I found myself into a 12-step program, but I had this voracious spiritual appetite. I'm always looking for the spiritual solution, a spiritual understanding of how to solve the problems in my own life and of the world. And that really carried me through.
Hmm.
And I quickly found myself, after I got sober, in massage school. And that squarely put me in my physical body. I was getting regular massages. I was getting body work. I was teaching people how to live in their bodies. And that was the one most amazing gift that the gods or the goddess or God have gifted to me, was to learn to be in my body.
Oh, wow. And after all, wherever you go, you're pretty sure their body's going to be there with you.
Absolutely. It's our oldest and dearest friend, Ken.
Yes. Now, there's a quote in Chapter 9 of your book at the beginning that just touched me. From Meister Eckhart, it says, you should meditate on how it is that the soul loves the body.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I'm going, well, boy, there's room for some further explanation.
Well, and for your readers who are not familiar with Meister Eckhart, he is one of the Christian mystics that have most inspired and influenced me. Now, you know, I told, as you mentioned early on, I'm a former drag queen. I did a lot of drag shows working in gay bars. And many of you will know that the Christian religion does not welcome or embrace their gay brothers and sisters very well. So, but I intuitively knew that Christ loved me and that God did not make a mistake when he made me a gay man. And so I had to pour myself into those obscure Christian mystics who could teach me about the real meaning and beauty of Christ's message that was separated from a lot of what the modern church is doing.
Oh.
And so Meister Eckhart is one of those great teachers. He's an amazing, amazing, beautiful Christian teacher. And in how he said, the church has gotten a little confused about the body and our relationship to the soul. It's easy to say the body's evil and the body's wicked and that we need to deny it and we need to transcend it and we need to overcome it and we need to focus just on the heaven. My belief is that the choices we make, our moral intelligence about our bodies, about our sensation, about our pleasure, is where we get into trouble. The body itself is not evil. It's the choices that we make because we are confused.
Mm.
And so that is how religion and we in our Western society have gotten confused about the body. The soul loves the body, Ken. The soul cannot live in a three-dimensional world in time and space without bones and muscles and cells. And so the soul relishes the opportunity to come to this world and experience and grow towards joy and ecstasy and love. And it can't do it without bones and muscles.
Right. So we've been gifted with this incredible temple that we can use to worship. And here you are helping to remind us that it's the soul's delight to have a body and for us to really absolutely be in love with it and nurture it and fully enjoy it. It's because you emphasize the fun.
Absolutely. You know, I like to think of myself as dancing through life.
Mm.
You know,
wow.
And we all can do that. There's so much to celebrate about life. You know, and it starts with our bodies. It starts with our hearts opening to the people in our lives and to the world every day. It opens to our minds finding the peace and the bliss of creation. And the moral intelligence of being of service, and Ken, I know you've really committed your life to being a man of service to the world. You're midwifing a consciousness into this world. And I really salute the passion that you do that with. And we all have that kind of passion for something if we can just find it.
Yes. Yeah. And to me, that you're emphasizing that in these five intelligence, these five vital IQs, that this is going to be where we can find that fire, that passion in our lives that just ignites us. And then I'm wondering, when a person discovers that passion, is that one of the bridges that might help them to master more of these IQs?
Absolutely. Passion, for me, is an aspect of our moral intelligence. At one level, moral IQ is just how we treat ourselves and how we treat each other. But for me, real moral intelligence is knowing deeply who I am. What are my core values? What are my core strengths? What is my real passion about life? What just lights me up like a Roman candle? And how can I live that every day after day after day and light up other people?
Mm.
You know, I just see this fire stretching across the world of people whose spirits are being awakened and alive and lit up. And the more passionate we are about the things that we do and how we do them, the easier it is for that light to happen.
Wow. So that helps us to know about a pathway. Mm-hmm. Is there a sequence, or do you help tailor it? Because I guess, someone might not be sure. Their life could be in a place where, well, what's my passion? Which of my five vital IQs among physical, emotional, mental, moral, spiritual, where am I most skilled? Now, do you offer support? Can people reach you, like, through the phone or email or different programs?
I love doing phone work with people, and I'd love for some of your callers to call in. If they've got any questions at all, please, ask. When I work with clients, the first thing is I get an assessment of where they are and what's going on. If there's not an IQ that's completely tanking and they're not about to get arrested and hauled off to jail or checked into the hospital for something, then the first thing we do is we do an assessment of what are their passions, what are their strengths, what are their core values, and how can they begin to live them in the world. That gives a person tremendous juice right there.
Mm.
And then we begin to build the energy of the other IQs to support that. And then I always recommend some sort of regular physical movement, whether it's dancing or walking or weightlifting or whatever, get you going.
Ah, okay. Well, there you go, folks. I mean, that's, I think, a simple door opening to doing that. Now, if someone is not able physically to get out and do much walking,
uh-huh,
because there's some people that, whatever, joints, and their body have deteriorated or they've got some injury, is there anything else that you could recommend to help get some physicality back into a person's life?
Well, this brings us back around to mental intelligence. We haven't talked a lot about that yet, Ken, but yet that's where energy psychology is so helpful with people. And when I talk about mental intelligence, I'm talking about the unconscious mind, our conscious mind, and then our superconscious mind. And when we start to get those in harmony together, it's what are our beliefs, what are the messages that we've absorbed about the world and the universe that are tucked so deeply in our unconscious mind, and they're affecting 90% of our reality, and we have no clue about that.
Mm.
So you and I talked about psyche, which is short for psychological kinesiology, earlier. And so when we can go in there and through applied kinesiology, muscle testing, and clear out a lot of these limiting beliefs, so much energy in the mind is freed up, and the body very quickly starts to shift. So even though people might have some incapacitation or quality where they can't get out and exercise, freeing up these limiting beliefs is a great way to do it. And another tool that I use and teach my clients is emotional freedom technique, EFT, and tapping on the acupressure meridians. And there is an entire library of information of how well EFT is at for improving the body and decreasing pain and increasing mobility. So it's an excellent tool for your listeners to learn about, and through some very simple tapping can make dramatic shifts in their physical bodies.
Wow. Okay. So it seems like you're really giving some pathway, because obviously we want to be as masterful as possible at all of our five IQs.
Well, right.
And so is this kind of like part of the path to being able to move ahead on all of these at once, or?
Well, again, I thought I'd come back to what is your strength. So, it's hard to separate one intelligence from the other, really, Ken, because we are these wonderful, integrated creatures of magnificent energy. But it is helpful to be able to distinguish between the five. And so, you know, again, focusing on your strengths. What are your natural strengths? What can you do? But then tending to the others and beginning to work with them. And what happens, my experience with my clients, is they start to have so much energy that is created in their bodies and in their lives, they become so much more effective in all the things they're doing, whether it's raising children or tending to careers or tending to parents or whatever challenges we have in our life. If we're working with our five IQs, we have the energy we need to deal with them.
Okay. And of course, in our instant society, where yesterday's not soon enough to have what we want, this question is just so delicious. If I had 5 minutes to adjust my out of whack IQs, what technique do you suggest to quickly bring me back to peace?
Well, there's a breath technique that I use that I love, and I call it the Valium breath. And I can teach it to you.
Yes, please.
Very quickly. And it's a very, very simple breath. So if you would just relax a little bit, all the listeners out there, just sit someplace, relax. And it's a very simple mathematical formula. It's an inhalation for a count of three. One, two, three. Pause for one. Exhale for six. Two, three, four, five, six. Pause. Inhale. Two, three. Pause. Two, three, four, five, six. And pause. And you just, if you'll do that cycle of breath, in for three, pause, exhale for six, pause. If you do that, Ken, that activates the parasympathetic nervous system in our bodies, which regulates most of the organ systems, and it will completely calm and relax your brain. Completely calm and relax your mind. And so once the body starts to relax, the head, the mind begins to clear. So in 5 minutes of doing that breath, you can completely shift your consciousness and you can completely shift your physical reality.
Wow. Well, now there's, if we had nothing else but that in the whole hour, and we've had so much more, that's a key one, Alan. That's huge. And you've studied, because there's a lot of different combinations, right, of breathing to achieve different effects.
Right. And with this, it's the emphasis on the exhale that gives it that soothing, relaxing effect.
Ah, so exhaling for twice as long as the inhale.
Right, right.
And then a brief pause while you're just momentarily holding the breath in and out between the cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And for those of your listeners tonight who really enjoy meditating, if you will sit down in your meditation and use this breath, if you'll just watch it for a while and really let your body relax and your mind settle, and then most people will focus on the counting, the rising and the falling, but if you will turn your attention to that pause, that is a very magical, special place, because that's when the mind opens to the spirit. And spirit can really speak to us in that stillness.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay. So, I know Deepak Chopra talks about these spaces between thoughts, and now you're talking about a space between the breath.
Right, exactly.
Ooh. Ooh.
And what I find is when I just let myself turn my attention very gently to that space between the rising and falling, it's like entire universes open up within me. Entire possibilities for my life open up within me in just that little fraction of a second.
Wow. Wow. Talk about a method to achieve this direct connection. I don't know if that would be like the gift of getting that connection from that still small voice within, or the Holy Spirit. I guess there's different names for this, the higher self or super consciousness.
And for me, Ken, they're all the same voice. It's all the ways that we've cultivated in history to tune our vessels to spirit and to allow ourselves to be moved by higher consciousness, by super consciousness, by cosmic consciousness, to be not only vessels in the world, but tools in the world to achieve the mastery in the kind of world that I think God is guiding us towards.
Wow. So that's one of those key items. Now, for kind of a moment where so many people, the world is dealing with some serious economic things, whether it's, you know, cost of war, cash flow, people starving. I mean, there's we live, we're told, in the midst of an amazing abundance. But I'm wondering, would you help tie in how do my IQs, whether they're in or out of balance, impact my cash flow and my abundance?
Well, part of it, I'm going to bring back to the unconscious mind and what we believe to be true about the universe we live in. And, you know, if you look at the what we're taught about money, we're taught that it's the root of all evil, that there's never enough of it, that if you spend it, you've got to replace it, and that if I have to go to work and I have to make a living and I've got to do something to be worthy of the abundance of the world and the life we live in. Those are simply limiting beliefs, Ken. And so as I can begin to dismantle the beliefs that I have about reality and money and the world that we live in, that abundance just rushes through me.
Ah, so it's all this lurking abundance that's there. We just have to, what is there, a bumper sticker, a Zen type of bumper sticker saying get out of your own way?
Exactly. And, you know, part of it is just our culture and our heritage. Humanity is still in its angry teens. We are just now really starting to step into our magnificence.
Ah.
One of the analogies that I love, Ken, is that plants existed on the planet for millions and millions of years, and flowers did not come to be until about 50,000 years ago.
Ooh.
But in a very short period of time, within 10,000 years, we had all the amazing abundance of flowers that we have in the world today. So in a shorter period of time, plants as we know them flowered. I believe humanity is on the same path. And we had people like Jesus and Lao Tzu and Buddha and Abraham and Muhammad who were flowers of humanity. They were the first flowers to come forward and show us how it's done. But I believe that now we are surrounded by everyday mystics whom we're all flowering. And in a short period of time, humanity, as we know, is going to be dramatically different.
And through your book, Body Brilliance, there's this pathway of connecting these aspects of ourselves to literally, if we're going on a camping trip, and we're going to pack up the car, we got to make sure we're careful unpacking, that the vehicle's in good condition, and so many things are all in order. And here you are talking about getting our body into this brilliant place to go on this journey.
Well, we got to have juice to do all the work that needs to be done. You know, I'm very hopeful, but I'm not disillusioned about the work that needs to be done. And I know that I need to tend to my body and my heart and my mind and my spirit so that I can stand up in the world and do my very best to meet the challenges we have ahead of us.
Yes. Now, with all of this, how about a training program? I mean, can we get that in the book? Can we get that from your website? Because you've got an amazing life path and so much to share.
Well, I mean, I have the book, and I have two more books that are in the pipeline. The second book in the series will be out it'll be finished by December. I expect it'll be out. And actually, I've been invited to speak with Deepak Chopra and Bruce Lipton and Dawson Church in Los Angeles next June about the five intelligences.
Ah.
So I'm thrilled about that. And if you go to my website, throughyourbody.com, I also do have like a little monthly membership program where I send out newsletters and I send out audio CDs. And all we do is explore different aspects of the intelligences. You know, I interact with members and, you know, we, you know, find out what's working for people, what inspires them, what helps them keep on track with their exercise, what keeps them on track with their meditation program. How do they stay passionate about these things that they learn when sometimes the world doesn't want us to be so passionate?
Yes. Wow.
Have you ever noticed, Ken, that as kids we're told we can be anything we want in the world, but then once we get to be adulthood, it's almost like the world resents us for reaching for our dreams?
Yeah, unfortunately, the transition between being on the playground of life and going into what is a business world, there's it's like two different realms.
Uh-huh. Well, and it takes that paradigm shift in our own consciousness and our own thinking and our own commitment to be magnificent. And then once I get so grounded in that, the old rules of the world just don't even apply to me anymore. And the criticisms of the old world don't even affect me anymore.
Wow. I can understand. Now, you yourself, from your past, if I understand, there was a group of you that were, you know, very involved in, you know, partying, and mm-hmm. and out of a large group, I don't think too many of you made it, from what I'm understanding from your materials.
Right. There was about a pack of 50 guys that just partied together and danced and played and went to concerts and museum openings and loved architecture and traveled, and we had a lot of fun. You know, as a matter of fact, we had more fun in a three-day weekend than the entire state of Oklahoma has in a year.
Now, that's a lot of fun.
That's a lot of fun, but, Ken, you know, sometimes that kind of fun comes with a price. And for my group, that price was AIDS and HIV. And of the 50 guys that used to hang around, there are five of us left, and only three of us are HIV negative. And I am grateful I am HIV negative.
Mm.
That day at the Montrose Clinic, when I finally got the results of being HIV negative, I just assumed that I would die from AIDS because I had shared needles with men who had already died. I just knew that I was sick. I knew that I was infected. And when I got that results of that test that said I was HIV negative, I knew that Providence herself had placed her hand on me and spared me for something.
Yes.
Now, I didn't know what. But 6 months later, I was in massage school, and I was finding my way.
Wow. I mean, Alan, to me, I'm sitting here tingling because, of course, the great story of Christianity is, you know, it was Christ going through a crucifixion and then rising to inspire us to greater living.
Right, right.
And I mean, and here you are from a walk with some, you know, just serious consequences. I mean, AIDS, I mean, so many millions upon millions of people's lives negatively affected. And there is a blessing upon you that has brought you through that and then brought you to this work with this book and connecting you to these people. I am just honored and grateful. You've opened a door of, because I needed to take a look myself at honoring more of my physicality. And so now that door has been open to me and open to our listeners, and they can send people in to review the archives of the program and, of course, go to visit you at throughyourbody.com to get your book and to get this, you know, information on a monthly basis. I just want to pause to thank our Creator for bringing you through all of this and giving you this both brilliance and compassion to share so lovingly and so gently things that are of a great impact. Alan, just thank you so much.
You're absolutely welcome, Ken. And I just want to thank you because I know what it takes to do a weekly show and to find the people that have a message. And the amount of work that you put into doing an amazing show week after week after week shows the light that you have and the guidance that you have from Spirit. And I really admire your commitment to make a difference and reach out to the people who are hungry for your message and your wisdom.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It is by the grace of God that you and I are doing this, and by His grace that our listeners are getting these messages. And I just want to wish all of us a deeper, more powerful, more easy, flowing, natural connection to that divinity. It's always there. We can never get away from it. We just have to allow it in, and may we all be blessed that we fully open to that flow of divine love of God as we know it through our own lives. And Alan, I look forward to being in further communication with you, and hope many of our listeners take advantage of the work you're doing in our book. And just want to thank you for being with us today, and thank all of our listeners for taking time to tune in. Wishing you a blessed, happy day and happy week until we meet again for more advanced living. And this is your host, Kenneth Lessers.